Ahead and pray before we start.
Heavenly Lord, we just give you praise and glory. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I thank you, Lord, for your presence, your spirit. Just speak to us today. Touch hearts. Bless, Lord, each one of these wonderful people here in Sterling, Lord. This touch our hearts and our minds. Just reach and bless your servant today in Jesus' precious name.
Praise God. God is good. It's good to see visitors in Sunday morning. Praise God. God bless you this morning. God is good. This morning we're going to be looking at God's word and my heart. Oh, God's word. I thought it should say God's word in my heart, but it's God's word and my heart. So we're going to talk about God's word and my heart. So we're going to start today in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. And I'm going to read verse chapter 4, verse 12 first in the King James, and then I'm going to read just that verse in the NIV. So with the King James, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." King James Version. In the NIV, it reads this, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." I like the difference just a little bit, how it just explains it in the NIV even more so, I think, than the King James. And then in verse 13, King James, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but the eye of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Praise God. Each of us here, each of us, have to make sure that our words and our desires are pleasing to God. Amen? Praise God. And then I would want to ask, what kind of heart does God want us to have? I think we touched on it a little bit last Sunday morning, and I think the word humility came up, and I really love that. So even before we get into the lesson, when you think about what kind of heart God wants us to have, the Word of God has so many scriptures about what kind of heart we should have, and we're going to go into some of those today. I told my husband I have a million scriptures, but I don't have a million scriptures today. And what kind of heart does God want us to have this morning? We said humble last week, yes, sis? Contrite? Pure? Yeah. Humble, absolutely, yeah. And today, we're not talking about the heart that we all have inside our bodies. We're not talking about that vital organ that we cannot live without, right? That one, that muscle that pumps all the oxygen and nutrients through our bodies, and we have to have it in order to live, right? We're not talking about that heart today. Psalms 147:3 says, "He, God, heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Wow, so that means we can be brokenhearted. And guess what? He binds the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted. He bindeth, I love that, E-F, continually up their wounds. Continually, praise God. People look on the outward, right? But God looks at the inward. God looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says that man does look on the outward, but God looks at our heart. And he is looking for something in our hearts that we can have as born-again children of God. Praise God. And I have some scripture verses I thought we could all share together today. And I wanted to just have, I know there's more than eight of us here, so we could read these. And I printed them off super large. So, Brother Thomas, for those of you that would like to read a scripture today, just raise your hand. He'll pass it out to you. There's only eight, so that's the first eight. Praise God. Thank you. And these are scriptures that we're going to look at. These are things that God is looking for in our heart, different types of hearts. And we're going to look at Psalms 51 a little bit more in detail, but Psalmist David had this psalm that he prayed, and God wanted, he said, Lord, create in me a pure, clean heart. And it was such a beautiful prayer. And that prayer he prayed after he had a confrontation with the prophet Nathan, and he had a repentant heart, and he asked God to create in him a pure, clean heart. Are they almost all passed out? There you go. Does anyone have the first one, Deuteronomy 11:13? Thank you, brother.
And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul.
Okay, praise God. I looked at this one, and serve our God, serving. He wants us to have a serving heart. Right? When we look at that scripture, who has the one in Deuteronomy 30, chapter 6? A heart to love.
And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live.
Yes. Praise God. A heart to love him. Wow, praise God. I want a heart to love you, Lord. Deuteronomy 26:16.
This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul.
Praise God. A heart to keep his word. No, I'm not talking about that vital organ, but a heart in our soul and our spirit to keep his word. What about 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 8?
And rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in my eyes.
Wow. David had that heart to do that was right in his eyes, to follow him, to follow the Lord. 2 Chronicles 15:12.
And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul.
Praise God, to seek him, a heart to seek him. Psalms 86:12. Oh, thank you, Mario. Thank you, brother.
Psalms 86, 12, King James Version 12. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart and will glorify thy name forever and evermore.
Praise God. Praise God. A heart to praise him. Absolutely, a heart to praise him. What about, most of us can quote this, but Proverbs 3, chapter 5. Yeah, I've passed out 8, just only 8. Yep. Oh, thank you. Praise God. He wants us to have a heart to trust him. Amen. What about the last one, John 3:16? Most of us can quote this. Praise God. He wants us to have a heart to believe in him. He wants us to have a heart of so many things, and there's so many portions of scripture that just isolate one thing, but there's so many altogether. David sought the Lord with all his heart, and God testified concerning him, even in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says that David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, he will do anything I want him to do. And we see that reiterated in the New Testament, not just in the Old Testament, but again in the New Testament. And we talked about that heart of humility. I think that probably, man, it's just so important, because that humility in our heart, in our spirit, will lead us to repentance. And what it does is it'll inspire us to pray the prayers like David prayed. God, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. And that prayer, what it does is, praise God, Holy Ghost, it positions us in a place where we are then able to be used by God as a conduit for his glory. And that's what's so exciting, saints. Praise God. There's an illustration shown here in today's lesson. So I want you to imagine the scenario. A king delivers to you a rare jewel. And I've seen some historical rare jewels, and they're amazing, and they're huge, these big red, whatever they're called, rubies. And they're worth, so much money. I can't even put my brain around it. Just so much money. But I'm thinking, if you had a king asking you to deliver a rare jewel, and you were the one that was going to keep it safe, it was up to you. You were the one keeping it safe. The jewel was just such of great value, and it was irreplaceable. And all your security, you watch out for it, you keep. And that in itself, just knowing that you are the one responsible for it, is very sobering. But then imagine that the king says you're not only to keep it, but then you have to take it through, you have to take it to some place on a journey of great length. And it's going to be unfamiliar territory. It's going to be dangerous. And you have to safeguard this rare jewel. The great news is at the very end, the king will meet you at the very end. At the end of your journey, he expects you to deliver this rare jewel to him safely. Well, with all of this, you're thinking, man, how am I supposed to do this? And you have all these questions. How am I going to guard this jewel? How am I going to get it to the place it needs to be to? What happens if there are thieves and robbers on the road? What happens if there are enemies that I don't even see on this road? Not knowing what to expect and the destination ahead, you're also given from the king this book that has all the answers in it. Every answer to every question that you have tells you where to walk, tells you how to walk, tells you what to do, what not to do, how to protect this rare jewel. How precious would this book be to you? It would be so precious. You would guard it so carefully. And you might think that it might be a little far-fetched, but you know what? We have been given a treasure, and we are asked to protect it. And in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Praise God. You know what? The Word of God is going to guide us. It's going to protect our hearts through life's journey. And can I get a witness? Have we not had each one of us had to have our hearts protected at different times in our journey, on this life's journey? God, keep us in your word. By keeping ourselves in the word, we are not only pleasing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but you know what? We are going to be given such a great treasure at the end. It's going to be a great reward. Praise God, just a great reward. God's word, thank you, Lord, is alive. That's what that scripture that we just read at the very first in Hebrews chapter 4. It's alive. And I'm thankful that it's relevant today in 2022. Some people might look at it like it's an old, dusty book in a library that you just take off and wipe off every once in a while. Or maybe it's on your coffee table and it's your family Bible. And it's not that at all. It's a letter from our Lord to us. We can say written in red in the New Testament. It's a letter to us on how to just not only live, enjoy, thrive, grow, be restored, be healed, and eventually have a hope of eternal life by following this instruction. Praise God. So it's not old-fashioned. It's not out of date. It's alive. It's relevant. And Lord, that we would see your word as alive and relevant. The word used to describe it is quick, which means alive. His word is basically, it's a testimony of his miraculous. It's an instruction manual for our lives. It is active, it's alive, and just as active as alive as it was when it was penned, as it is today. It is still active and alive, praise God. God's word says in Isaiah 55:11, it says that his word will not return void or empty. It's, you know what? His word can bring change in our life, in our lives, when nothing else can bring change. When people are just hungry and they don't know what to turn to and they're thinking, man, life has treated me bad. They start listing all the things that have come against them and have wronged them and people and situations. You know what? I would challenge you, if that's something that you face, to get into the word. Let it wash over you. Let it clean you. Let it refresh you, because it will, and it really does do that for you. And I remember years ago, man, just reading the word of God, and I thought, why am I reading, like, I'm reading Deuteronomy, I'm starting in the Old Testament, going through, and as I was reading Deuteronomy, you know, some of it was just, it seemed like it was Greek, because I didn't understand a lot of it. But I tell you what, when God illuminates something to you through Scripture, you don't even have to take notes, because you'll never forget it. Isn't that amazing? And it was in this passage of Scripture years ago, and it was about what women should or should not wear, what pertaineth to women and dressing. And I was convicted, and God did that himself. It wasn't anybody speaking to me. It was God himself. And I would say, for us to keep such a spirit that is humble towards God, so that when his word convicts us, that we receive it and then we act upon it, rather than being so stubborn and so bullheaded that it doesn't matter what God says, I'm going to do what I want to do. I just don't want to have that. We don't want to have that kind of spirit or that heart. That heart that's kind of like a rock that you chip and chip and chip and chip and chip. And God's like, I'm going to get a jackhammer, you know, the next whatever it takes. But you know, whatever it takes, God, move us by your spirit. Praise God. The word of God is a two-edged sword. God's word self-identifies as a sword. It calls itself the sword of the Spirit. This is found in Ephesians 6 and 11. In Revelation 1 and 6, we see the sword emanating from the mouth of God. God's word is a powerful weapon for spiritual warfare. It's a powerful weapon. We use it. It's powerful. The one who hears it, it's powerful. About that two-edged sword, it's a phrase that's often used to describe something that can cut both ways. So some of you guys might have those knives that are double-edged, right? Sharp on both sides. So it can cut both ways, going both ways. So the word of God not only affects the one using it, speaking it, it affects the one receiving it or hearing it, which, don't ever forget, you might think, okay, it's just a simple scripture. It just seems so whatever you might think of it, or it affects people. It affects atmospheres. It affects lives. It affects homes. And the Greek word didymos is made up of two words, which mean two and mouth. So the Bible is called a two-mouthed sword. That is why Hebrews 4:12 is such a great example of scripture about how powerful God's word is. I think we can all agree today that God's word is powerful. Amen. It is, God's word is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. His word has such a unique ability to work on our heart like nothing else. Praise God, like nothing else. And people can try to analyze your life. Maybe you've had a little psychological evaluation. Maybe you've done those profiles online before you got married or whenever. Your personalities or whatever. But people can do that. However, it takes the power of God's Spirit to discern the motives of our heart. It's God. He can just go past all of the facade of whatever you may say or however you may look. He goes right to the source in your heart, and he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. He's able to do that. He's God. And the word of God in our lives is, honestly, it's of the utmost importance. I think every Sunday school lesson is of the utmost importance. But when you think of the word of God, I mean, it's just important. And then you think of how can we get more of the word of God in our hearts? How do we do that? I thought, man, let's make this a little practical Christianity this morning. You know, how do we soften our hearts towards God and his word? And I would ask you that question today. How do you soften your heart toward God and his word? Are there things that you do, like a routine that you have? I would say pray about that. Pray about it. You know what? Someone once said, and I think it was Brother Bishop Blackshear said, he has a cozy chair and a table and his Bible, and he curls up, and it's comfortable, and he loves it, and he loves to go to it. And I'm thinking, you know that cozy chair, that cozy table, your beautiful cup of coffee? You know what? Make it an experience when you get to get into the Word. If you are a journaler, journal. You like writing notes? Write notes. If you like soothing background, you know, that white noise, whatever it is, make it a special place that you go to and you're like, you're excited about it. You're hungry for it. Like, man, I'm going to spend time in God's Word today. I might light a candle. I like right now pumpkin. It's lovely. Bring a nice cozy blanket or shawl, keep you warm, a little pillow to prop your Bible up. But whatever you need to do, do it. Just make it an experience, and then let God speak to you during that time. If it involves buying a new Bible, finding just a new version, and you don't want to use your devices, there's a new shop in Kenai. It's by Soothe in the Plaizul Mall. They have Bibles, folks, all different kinds. Buy a new Bible. Feel the pages. Turn the pages. Just fall in love again with God's Word in that special place, whatever it is for you. Read a different translation. That's always exciting. Reading a different translation, kind of, because you've read the Word of God, most of you, many times throughout your life. So pick a Bible with a different translation and read it, and you'll get a little bit excited when you read those scriptures you know so well. You're like, wow, that said so well. I like it. Keep it real. Keep our heart's garden tended. Keep our garden of our heart tended. And I thought, you know, we have our neighbor's gone, and right now she's letting us harvest some of her garden. So we're going over every couple of days and getting fresh salad, food for, you know, salad. But she's taken care of this garden so well. But it's like if you had a garden and you didn't take care of it and it's overrun and no one was harvesting in it, it was just like the tomatoes were just falling and just, you know, rotting and food was just... We want to tend our heart. Our heart, our soul needs tended. We need to take care of it. Psalms 119, 148 says, "My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise." Praise God. Some of you do that. If it's late into the middle of the night and you cannot sleep, you've learned to hear and feel and trust that voice, that Spirit of God quickening you. Okay, this is not that I just can't sleep. This is I need to pray. This is I need to read the Word. This is, I don't know what it is, God, but I'm going to obey you. Praise God for you. Praise God for you that you are obeying and listening to God's voice. Remember the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Remember those things. That's a prayer you could pray. And you can add so many beautiful things to each one of those phrases. Just make it a prayer, like kingdom come. You could just, Lord, you know, just add to it. And it's just, you could turn that prayer time into such an amazing, amazing experience. And I know it's happened to you. And when God meets you in those prayer times, and you know God has met you, you just can't wait to get back to it again. There's something so special, so divine. It's not of this earth. It's so special that God would meet you. Praise God. So I challenge you to make a special place. Make a special place in the morning, a prayerful time of meditation, getting in the scriptures, because there's joy. There's joy for your day. There's peace for your life. And there's so many promises in the Word of God. And then when he just highlights a portion of scripture and your heart is like, wow, and you know God has spoken to you specifically, you'll never be the same again. You'll be changed. Praise God. Psalms 112 verse 1 says, the psalmist declares him blessed who greatly delights in God's commandments. That's what the psalmist said. In Psalms 119:97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Is it your meditation all the day? Do you think of scriptures throughout the day? Do you think of songs throughout the day? Scripture songs. That's great. Psalms 119:48 says, I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Praise God. Praise God. The Word of God is so amazing, and God is so good to us. And the scriptures that we are reading in Hebrews, nothing is hidden from the sight of God. And for some, that would be not so comforting, but for Christians, it should be so comforting for you to know that nothing is hidden from the sight of God, that there is nothing in our life and in our heart that is hidden from God. There are things that we feel in our heart that we don't even have to utter or say, but God, he knows. He knows. There's no secrets. Jeremiah 16:17 says, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes. Proverbs 15:3 declares, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I'm going to stop right there for a sec. People think, does God even know? You know what's going on? Does God even care? Yes, he knows, and yes, he cares. Each child of God should be encouraged to understand that God notes every good deed, every good direction, every good decision, every time we choose him as a priority, he notices. He does. He takes note. It's like parents. We want our children. We want the best for our children. We want the best. And when they make great decisions, and to me, great decisions are those involving God, great decisions and moving towards God in their lives and growing in the power that God has given them and the anointing, praise God, my son-in-law, praise God. Just you just want so much for them. I know God feels that way about us. He wants so much for us. And then he gives us his beautiful word. And he's like, here it is. When there are people in this world that don't have the word like we have in many translations, that we can read different translations every day if we wanted to, we have been given it. And it's in our hands to do whatever we want with. Use it or don't use it. But God, he delights in us getting into it. Just learning more, growing more, feeding our heart, feeding our soul. Praise God. The Word of God is perfect. We live, unfortunately, in a flawed world. It's a sinful world. And around us, things don't last forever. They will decay. They will not go on and on and on. You build a house in 2022, and you know what? Over time, you will have to make repairs. You'll have to do something to repair your home. It's called maintenance. The weather's going to wear the exterior. The elements over time are going to... We have wind in North Kenai, lots of wind. It destroys even our vegetation, you know, the outside paint. You could buy new clothes today, and you can't. Some of you are able to keep them for decades, and I bless you. I don't know how you do it, but maybe they're just made so much better years ago. But you're going to have to buy new clothes very soon because they won't last forever, wash, dry. A new car is not going to stay new forever. Over years and outside elements, you're going to have rust eventually. But the one thing that's going to stand is the Word of God. It's going to stand to everything in contrast that's around us. Praise God. In the Bible, we find something that is indeed perfect. In Psalms 19, God's word describes, it is described as perfect, pure, right, sure, clean, enduring, forever, true, righteous. And we're going to read it. Let's turn to Psalms 19. We're going to read verses 7 through 14. Psalms 19, 7 through 14. The Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can stand against his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Praise God. That is such a powerful portion of Scripture. You could pray that. You could just pray that every day. You could just pray that. The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives our soul. Wow. Who needs their soul revived? Praise God. The law of the Lord is perfect. Its function is to revive our soul, to refresh our soul. Praise God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise a simple. Scripture itself is God's record of God's, it's his witness of who he is and that he is for us and will provide for us. He will refresh us. Oh, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. God's rules are never wrong. And you can always, always, always rely on God for his accuracy, for his truth. Praise God. And we can find help for our souls, for our hearts when we are broken, when we are sad, when we are living in a world that is fallen. If you need help for your heart, and there are times when we are spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, living a victorious life, we need help for our heart. And you know what? This is where we're going to get it, in the Word. Praise God. Memorize it. Meditate on it. And I remember one of my sisters, she would not like me saying this, but Sister Debbie Krumpacker. She would have, and I was so inspired. After all the years of living for God, she would have a little card on the side of her refrigerator that is a scripture that she's memorizing. New scripture, memorizing a new scripture. It's on the refrigerator, a little index card. I'm like, what a great idea. Just all these little, I guess you could say, hacks to for us to be just more into the Word, memorizing the Word. And I was telling Sister Sherry before church that, I'm not ashamed of it. We paid our children to read the Word. When they were teenagers and they're like, nope, I mean, I'd rather play games or I'd rather go fishing. I was like, we will give you $20 for every book of the Bible you read. And it depended on their lack of money at the time. But I know the word touched their soul, and I'll $20 for reading one book. Here you go. Thank you so much. And you know what? I know that it touched their hearts. I know it did. So it was like a double blessing. Whatever it takes, right, parents? Yes. Whatever it takes. Praise God. You know what? Praise God. Absolutely. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. I love how descriptive Psalms 19 is. The word pure can also be said as radiant. God's commandments shine. They shimmer. They glow. They're bright. And what does brightness do, church? It dispels darkness. That's what his word does. Praise God. His word stands. It stands the test of time. It will stand. It'll last forever. Praise God. His word. We're so blessed. We are so blessed. The fear of the Lord in that passage of Psalms 19 is clean, enduring forever. You know what? Its power and purpose, it doesn't end. It never ends. God's word doesn't change with our seasons, with how we are feeling, what we're going through. It doesn't change. It doesn't change with the fashions of the world. It's always in. It's in. The rules of God are true. They're righteous altogether. That's what Psalms 19 tells us. And God's word is never false. It's never off. It's always on. God's word is our certain foundation for our eternal reward. It is. Praise God. And you know what? The satisfaction and joy and delight that we get when we are in the Word, it is so pleasing to God. But we are also so blessed when we are in the Word. Praise God. His laws and precepts and commandments are more to be desired than gold, even than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great, great reward. It's a great reward, a great treasure for us. Praise God. Not only for us, but for those around us, our families. Something the Word of God does that's so amazing. It just does so many things. In Psalms 19, it says, the Word of God restores. How many times in our lives, even as Christians walking for the Lord, we have had to be restored? Thank you, Lord. Restores us from our fallen condition. It restores us to a place in relationship with Him. And that's what He wants so much. Lord, help us to be submitted to your word so He can make something beautiful out of your life. He's able to do that. The Word of God is able to do that. That song that David sang, the Psalm 51, where he sang, you know, that song of repentance, there's a song that says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Those are times when you're like, man, I can imagine some of us have had those times, like David had times where he was just wrecked and racked, and what can I do? He repented, and he cried out to God, and he used his word, praise God. The word of God points out things in our lives that sometimes we just don't even see. It could be a fault. It could be a sin. But it points it out because of this new life that we have in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect and we're not going to have struggles. The battle between the flesh and the spirit is real, but his word is greater. And you know what? Until then, we're just going to keep doing our very best in the word. When we stumble, we repent and repent. We find grace, we find mercy in his presence, and we get up again, and we just keep going on, keep going on. The word of God will keep us from sin, praise God. By reading and meditating on scripture, God equips our hearts that we may not, in Psalms 119:11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." In order for God's word to be in our heart, we have to read it or hear it. And what it does is it reorients our thinking to him. It's not about us anymore, because the world is all about me, 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 and what can I get. But it's back to him and giving him glory and him praise. Praise God. I have to make sure that my words and my desires are pleasing to the Lord, obeying the word of God. Do you guys remember the scripture in Joshua 1:8? It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then he will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Remember that portion of scripture in Joshua? Jesus has a great scripture in Mark chapter 12, verses 30, 31. He says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." He wants us to do this. He wants us to have a certain heart for him. Sin destroyed the relationship in the garden. It destroyed that beautiful relationship. And Jeremiah tells us in 17, verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And we go further in the days of Noah. The conditions of men's heart prompted God to do something huge in that flood. So the judgment was unleashed in the flood. And in Genesis 6:5, it says, "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." See how important the heart is? So many things start in the heart. They're almost like the seed is planted, and we have to be careful what we tend in our heart. What you feed in your life is what you're going to have grow. It's so important. Matthew 15:19-20 says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." We have an opportunity to plant such great seeds in our heart, seeds that are for the Lord, for worshiping him and keeping his commandments. And I just want to be so diligent about it and allow God's word to be a part of my life and a part of my soul to celebrate him. So in closing, I would say this: allow God's word to restore your soul, like Psalm 19 says, to give you wisdom for your life's journey. This is almost like an address at a graduation. Joy for your heart, enlightenment for your eyes, truth that you can count on, and the provision of righteousness. Praise God. So, and I'll close with this scripture. Psalms 119:15 says, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." Praise God. I hope that's your desire today. And as we go into celebrate and worshiping the Lord today, God bless each one of you. And let's greet our visitor today in Jesus' name. God bless you.